bed and you say, "Praise the Lord." And when they said, "Praise the Lord," we would say, "Praise the Lord." And then they would say, "Praise the Lord" again. And some people were saying, "Hallelujah," because they understood it, I guess, better than I did. Amen. And they corrected us and said, "Well, when I say, 'Praise the Lord,' amen, you don't say, 'Praise the Lord' back, but you begin to praise the Lord." It's a decree. It's a command. Amen. So praise the Lord. Amen. We bless the name of the Lord today. Amen. We're going to get right into, amen, right into this. Amen. And as Elder Caraway was praying, amen, he said something. He referenced a verse that really is very fitting, goes along with what the Lord gave me for this afternoon. And I said, "Lord, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for speaking, amen, through him and even though." So, for the scripture reading, we are going to stand together, amen. We're going to take our scripture reading, amen, from Matthew, the 5th chapter. And we're going to go from 1 through 6. And in verse 6 will be the scripture that he referenced that is very fitting, amen, according to what God has prepared for us this afternoon. Amen. Amen. If we have it, say amen. And if we don't, it's on the screen then. Amen. There's no pressure over there, but I did task my sister, amen, so we can move this along. Amen. I'm going to myself, if I give a scripture, for the most part, I'm going to look to the screen as you will, just so we can keep it moving. Amen. Alright, verse 1 reads, and we can read it together. "And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, 'Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled.'" May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of the word that the church says. The word of the Lord is blessed already. You may be seated, amen, in the presence of God. Amen. That's a pop. That scripture right there. Amen. Thank you for it. It is very fitting. "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." Amen. As I was going through the week, I knew I had to speak on Thursday. And this was the first time, amen, that I had to do back-to-back kind of, amen, sermons or presentations of the Word of God. Normally it's few far in between, and that's the way I like it. Amen. So it was a little different this time around. Amen. Because you're wrestling in me. I'll talk for myself. I was wrestling and struggling with what God is trying to say to me. Amen. So I can be the presenter for us. Amen. To hear the word of God for this afternoon. Amen. And I was also tasked with Thursday. Amen. With bringing forth the word of God for at least a brief moment. Amen. And in doing so, amen, my mind was just being taken and sold many different places. And I was trying to zone in on one. "Lord, what are you trying to say? What are you saying? What should I say?" And I was trying to pick it out and zone in on one thing, one word that God was, amen, trying to speak, and I was having a difficult time. I couldn't do it. I couldn't zone in on just one thing. And Thursday, amen, we went over here, amen, and I was asked to speak, Amen. And what it was, it was five different speakers. And each speaker had a 10-minute slot. And that was my first experience with something of this magnitude. And it was something that was unusual, but amen. When you say, Lord, I'll go. Send me, I'll go. You're just up for the challenge, whatever it may be. What came to my mind when God is just dealing with me and my mind is going from here to there? Amen. And then I thought of Thursday. What came to my mind as a title for this little session here? Amen. Is a spiritual smorgasbord.
All right.
A spiritual smorgasbord. So I know, looking over here, Brother Elijah is laughing like crazy. And you know why? Who on earth knows how to spell smorgasbord? And I promise you, this is the way it came to me. And I'm like, Lord, is that even a word? You know how I got around to that word in the spelling? Doing exactly what they're probably doing over there right now. You pick up your phone, you go to the text message, and it has a microphone there. And you hit on the microphone, and you say, smorgasbord. Guess what happens? The spelling comes up. I realize that all my life I said it wrong. I said it incorrectly. I thought it was smorgasbord. For you over there, the way to spell it, S-M-O-R-G-A-S-B-O-R-D. And it's pronounced smorgasbord. It is a word. I said, thank you, Jesus. And just a quick definition of that word is it's a meal or of some sort, but just with a bunch of different food and a bunch of different things. It's not one focus. Amen. A smorgasbord. A spiritual smorgasbord. And let's take this thought for a second. We've all been invited out to the house of God. We are what you call guests in the house of God. When you're invited to a meal, spiritual, physical, what's one of the first things you do when you're about to feast on that meal? Can you say that loud? You bless the food. You say the grace. We're about to have a spiritual meal. Can we bow our heads? Heavenly Father, Lord God, Lord Jesus, we bless your name, Lord God, for you are good, Lord Jesus. Lord God, we thank you for keeping us yet again. We thank you for another day, Lord God. Lord Jesus, as we sit to feast at this spiritual meal, Lord God, this spiritual table, Lord God, we ask you, Lord God, that in the spirit you bless this fruit that we're about to receive. For the nourishment and strengthening of our bodies, Lord God. For the nourishment and strengthening of our minds, of our soul, Lord God, of our spirit, Lord God. On this afternoon, Lord God, we're not asking, Lord God, that you give us temperance, Lord God, but we ask, Lord God, that we receive it with humility, Lord God. Lord God, we're asking, Lord God, that you fill us up and let it overflow, Lord God. Let our cup, let our plate, Lord God, overflow in the name of Jesus. We pray. Amen and amen. We sit here this afternoon at a spiritual feast of sorts. Normally, when you're invited to someone's house for a meal, you're at the mercies of whatever the preparer cooked up for you. Today, we are the guests in the house of the Lord. We should be saying, Lord, whatever you have for me, it is for me. We should be saying, fill me up, Lord, and let me overflow. Are you thinking what I'm thinking? Am I a little loud? Yes, it's probably up here, so I'll take care of it. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Some places you're invited to a feast, to a party, to a get-together. Several people are asked to bring dishes. And that's kind of what Thursday was. I was asked to bring a spiritual dish. Amen to this. Amen. Smorgasbord of sorts. When you go to someone's house and you're invited to a feast, when a family gets together, amen, a lot of times you're known for certain things. Amen. So when my family gets together, amen, Sister Brooke knows she better bring the macaroni and cheese. Sister Jasmine knows, amen, that she better have some rice and beans, or else there's going to be a problem in the Simon household. Sister Nikki is tasked with everyone. Now, I personally don't care for it, but Sister Nikki is tasked with corn pudding.
Yes.
Amen. And she always does the baked beans when we get together. Amen. And I like the baked beans. Brother Giovanni, amen, has lately been tasked with bringing the bread pudding.
Yes.
So you get together in a feast, and a lot of times, amen, many people bring a dish, and you're supposed to bring your best dish.
Yes. Yes.
And sometimes when you get together, amen, there's what you call leftovers.
Amen.
And some people would say sometimes the leftovers
are better
than the first day.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yes.
Amen. Some items on the menu, sometimes you have to just revisit. Amen. You know, Sister Brooke, it doesn't make a difference. Whenever we're having a family get together, Sister Brooke better have my macaroni and cheese. Sometimes you need to heat up the leftovers. And so there's some leftovers that you just, amen, you just never heat up. French fries, if you ever went out to anywhere and you have more French fries, you bring the French, you have to have the French fries when they're there. You can't bring the French fries home and heat it up. It's just not, it doesn't work. Today, we're going to add in a few of the leftovers with our meal. Some of you weren't there on Thursday, but as God was, amen, testing, but as God was moving on me concerning this, amen, there were just certain things, amen, that it was just impressed on me to bring out. Amen. So today, we're just going to bring a few, just a few leftovers.
Amen.
Amen. Of those who were there, and the ones who were not there, amen, just let's hope that the leftovers today are better than the first meal. Hallelujah. When we're guests at someone's house, some things we're going to like, and some things not so much. Some things are going to be easier to swallow, and some things are going to be a little bit tougher.
Amen.
Amen. If you come to our get together, especially on Thanksgiving, them hands are going down like smooth honey. Woo! Amen. But you might get to a little bit of steak. It's a little tougher to swallow.
Amen.
So things we don't like as much, like our greens and our vegetables, I don't care for them as much. But we eat it anyways because we know it's good. Amen.
Yeah.
And seek the Lord concerning what it is you have us to hear on this afternoon. I was speaking in so many directions. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And that's where we came up with a spiritual smorgasbord. Sometimes you're having a meal. It's a dominant dish. Sometimes the pastor is up here preaching and it's a dominant dish. Sometimes you have what? Spaghetti or Big Z. It's a dominant dish. And there's times when he's up here and there's a dominant dish going on, but God is pulling and talking in a lot of different ways, and God just anoints his hands and anoints his mouth. Amen. And adds a few things here and a few things there, here a little and there a little. And that's all right. Amen. A spiritual smorgasbord. Hallelujah.
Amen.
God knows what we need.
Yes.
And when we need it.
Yes.
A good meal starts off at times with what you call hors d'oeuvres. Today's hors d'oeuvres come from the leftovers of the other night.
Amen.
Amen. Remember, turn to Ephesians, the 6th chapter, verses 10 through
13. Amen.
Yes, Lord.
Amen. Ephesians, the 6th chapter, verses 10 through 13, and we read this on the other night.
It's all right.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. As they're getting it, I'll turn to it here. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Amen. Hallelujah. We're going to skip to verse 13 for time's sake. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God that ye may be able to withstand the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Thank you, Jesus. And we focus in, amen, on the, and having done all to stand since.
Yes.
We try to establish that everyone that is in the same church many a times are on a different playing field. We're in the same congregation, but we're not in the same spiritual condition at all times.
Amen.
Hallelujah. We are different types of saints in the church. The having done all to stand saints, and the saints that have separation between them and God.
Amen.
The having done all to stand saints have confidence in God.
Yes.
But even with having confidence in God, there's times that they can become weak.
Yes. That's right.
Because we're human.
Yes.
Will only humble themselves. see my face and turn from their wicked way. Then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sins and I will heal their land. There is hope this afternoon. The spiritual sword is for
you.
So in getting into the meal, the first fixing is called not guilty. Not guilty. I had to go to court this past Monday, and it was for a traffic violation. Now, truth be told, I truly believe I wasn't guilty in the first place. But I was pulled over. I have my reasons, I believe. Amen. And the officer told me that I was speeding. And I said, "Mr. Officer, how fast was I going?" Well, I'll tell you. But in the meantime, your license and registry, yes, sir, Mr. Officer, can you please tell me how fast was I going? Your license and registry, I wasn't being rude or anything. Your license and registration, please. Hallelujah. And so I went to court on Monday morning. And so let me tell you this. So the officer didn't give me a speeding ticket, but he found something on the back of my car that if I'm going as fast as, let's say, he would like to say that I was going, which he never gave me a speed. There's no way he would have saw this. So he gave me what you call a show me ticket. And a show me ticket, I had never heard of it before, but a show me ticket was, you have to go get this fixed, and then you have to bring it to any police station, and an officer is supposed to come out and look at that, and you're supposed to show them that you got it fixed, then you get it signed. Then either you can go to court or you can send your ticket in the mail. So I'm the one that I like to face the police contact. So I went to court, so I had court Monday morning. Remember, this fixing is called not guilty. And I was able to get in line, and there were a number of people in front of me. And person after person that went before me, the judge sat there, amen, and he said, this right here is points on your license. You better come back on this date, and you're going to have a court-appointed lawyer that's going to deal with your case. Because if you go right now with the way it is, you're going to lose points on your license. So everybody is going before this judge, amen, is going through this. And I went in front of the judge. And what I'm saying is, can we pull up Luke 23? Amen. Luke 23, you want to start at verse 32. Amen. And so when I went before the judge, I went up there not knowing what was going to go on. Mr. What's your name? I gave him my name, and I gave him the ticket. And they looked and they saw that I got it fixed and that I got signed by an officer and I brought it. And the next thing that the judge said, case dismissed. I got chills when he said case dismissed. And that thought continued to resonate with me throughout the week. Case dismissed, not guilty. Let's take a look right here. Amen. We're going to read verses 10 and 11, and then we're going to skip. We're going to read verses 10 and 11. I'm sorry. I gave you the wrong thing. We're in Revelations 12. Revelations 12, the 10th chapter. My apologies, we're coming here next. I'm sorry, Revelations, the 12th chapter, verses 10. Not guilty. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. Verse 11 reads, and they overcame them by the blood of the Lamb. Verse 32 reads, and there were also two other malefactors led with them to be put to death. Malefactors. I had to look that up. I knew what it was, but I didn't. I wanted to really understand. Malefactors, he said, they were like thieves or someone who was found to be guilty of a criminal act. Amen. They were, amen, led with them to be put to death. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified them. And the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Amen. Was that verse 33 as well? Amen. Skip to verse 39 through 43. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. Hallelujah. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in same condemnation? And we indeed justly, they were saying, he was saying, we're guilty of what we're being accused of. Jesus is not guilty of what he's being accused of. We're guilty. Amen. For we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest in to thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Not guilty. This resonated with me. He said, case dismissed. How many know that we are guilty? But God is going to present us faultless.
Amen.
You know, if you're not in that position, They didn't believe until they saw. I was watching, probably like a month ago, I was watching an episode of 60 Minutes. And on 60 Minutes, there was a mental part about a doctor that performed face surgeries for like horrific accidents and horrific things that happened. I remember one was of a firefighter. Amen. And this thought stayed with me. Amen. One was of a firefighter. He went in, amen, to help with this fire. And his face was burned beyond measure. And it was like monster-like, where he would hide his face going out in the public. And this man was a good-looking man. And he had children. And he had a wife. Amen. And so this doctor would perform face transplant surgeries on these victims. And there was a story as well of one young man who tried to take his life.
Yes.
And he shot himself in the face.
Yes.
And he survived it. And over time, amen, he started to have a different outlook on life. And this doctor, amen, went to see this man because this was one of the people who were up for a possible transplant surgery to his face. And the doctor had to go sit down with this man. And he had to talk to him. Why? Because this is a very rare surgery. This is what do you call it? This when something's new, it's called
Revolutionary.
It's a revolutionary thing. This is not something that's natural. And he had to sit down with this young man. And what he was doing, he had to vet this young man to make sure that if he went through, this surgery is thousands and thousands of dollars, and it's so very rare. And everyone can't do it. This is the only doctor so far. Amen. And he had to vet this young man to make sure that if he goes through with this surgery, they found somebody that's a pretty much a match that they can do it when somebody passed away and they were, you know, an organ donor. And they were going to use this person's face to take it off and to transplant it on his. And they had to vet him to make sure that he wasn't going to try to take his own life again. Saints of God, don't you know that before we were born, before the foundation of the world, God was vetting us. Before we were thought of, God was vetting us. Reunion, but you saw with this reunion, you saw the kids,
Amen. And some of them were a little older, and you saw them approaching their father. You saw them approaching their father. But he looks different. This is not his face.
Yes, yes.
He's approaching, but it looks different. It's a little, it's uncomfortable. Some may call it a little scary, but this face definitely looks better than the marred face from the burning of the fire.
Yes.
But something struck me about this. Here's what the doctor said. The doctor said that to the kids, I know it looks different. I know it doesn't seem the same. It's not far off though. He said, but the same person that is behind that face, the same person that is behind that mask, let's call it, amen, is the same person that was there before he was burned.
Yes.
What struck me about that is the deliverance. That same God that's been behind deliverance after deliverance, although at times the face is going to seem different, the deliverance is going to seem different. It may come from here, it may come from there, it may come from here, it may come from there. That same person, that same God that was behind the deliverance before, is the same God that's behind the deliverance to come.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. Somebody said, just ask the three Hebrew boys. They will tell you the same God that was before the fire is the same God that was there in the fire. The same God that was there after the fire. We can ask Brother Daniel in the lion's den. We can ask Brother Moses at the Red Sea. We can ask Brother Joshua at the walls of Jericho. We can ask Brother Jonah in the belly of the fish. We can ask the centurion man. We can summon your Savior. We can ask Brother Peter when he started to save them. We can ask Brother Justice when God came and provided. All you have to do is look around you. That same God that's behind you, he's incredible. The same God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. You can be seen.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
The same God. The same God. The same God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Do you know him today? Do you know him today?
Hallelujah.
Yes, yes, yes. Having done all to save the saints.
Hallelujah.
You can worship. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
You can be seen.
Thank you, Jesus.
The spiritual sports. Several different meals. The next serving. This is called the relationship.
Yes.
We're going to turn to Revelation, the 19th chapter. We'll read verses 7 and 8. Hallelujah, the relationship. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him. For the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. Can you turn to John, the third chapter? Amen. We're just going to look at verse 29. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom. But the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy, therefore, is fulfilled. Stay right there. Brother John is writing this. We know what Brother John was called. He was called a friend of the bride, friend of the bridegroom. Brother John, he's speaking. Whenever in the scriptures, amen, the scripture references the bridegroom, it's talking about who? When the scripture references the bride, it's talking about who? Now, Brother John here, he's talking about how his joy is fulfilled. He's doing his part. He's telling, he's saying, I can rejoice because of the bridegroom. And later on, we're going to go into the next verse. Don't go there right now. We're going to go into John 3, verse 30 in a little bit. Amen. But he's saying he rejoices because of the bridegroom. Amen. And because of the bride, he's doing his part. He had a role to play in presenting Jesus. Amen.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. God calls it a marriage. That's how strong he sees this relationship between himself and the church.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. What we're offering God, we wouldn't stand for in a national relationship.
Amen.
Let alone a marriage. What many of us are giving God in a national relationship, we wouldn't stand for.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And this is what we're giving God. Some of us can't even give God just a consistent amount of time in prayer, in fellowship. Some of us, if we're in a natural relationship, I don't know if there's, a pastor always says this. He says, I'm going to pick on the men and leave the woman alone. So I'm a man, so let's pick on men. I'm in a relationship. I am in a marriage. Some of us men have heard this before. You can't just give me one day. I've heard that before. I'm guilty. You can't just give me a couple hours. I think I'm doing better, right, Sister Jasmine? Say yes. But in a natural relationship, we wouldn't stand for it. And this is our sacrifice we're giving God. God is not well pleased. We have to take a deep look at ourselves. This is a marriage that God calls it. A marriage that when God speaks of the bride and the bridegroom, we're supposed to look at this and apply that to our natural marriage. The way God takes care of his bride. The way he loves his bride. We are in a marriage through the spiritual with the Lord.
Amen.
God is not well pleased. And I'm not going to stay here
Amen. As this is coming together, God is not well pleased. But that sermon, this spiritual story is born. We're going to title it, Excuse Me. We're going to call this, Excuse Me. This is a portion of Excuse Me. We have gotten so big, no one can see God.
Amen.
Until God is in need of us to move over because we've gotten so big.
Amen.
You can just bring 30, verse 30 up. John 3, verse 30. Here's what John said. He said, He must increase, He being the Lord. He said, but I must decrease. The adversary has used technology to invade the saints of God. With vanity comes compromise. Go to 2 Kings, please, the 17th chapter. We're going to read verses 14 and 15. Let's look at this. Notwithstanding, they would not hear, but hardened their necks like to the neck of their fathers that did not believe in the Lord their God. Verse 15. And they rejected his statutes and his covenant that he made with their fathers, and his testimonies which he testified against them. You know what they're doing right there? They compromised.
Yes.
At that point, they're compromising. And see what follows is this. And they followed vanity and became vain and went after the heathen that were round about them. They began to compromise.
Yes.
When vanity gets involved, vanity brings compromise. So, in the world today, the social media, the technology, the I, everything is about you. Everything is about me. Everything. Half the saints of God, and here's the thing. I've never seen a Facebook. I'm not on Facebook. I'm not on Snapchat. I'm not on any of that. Amen. I've heard things here and there around me, and I'm not knocking that. But what I'm talking about is when it starts to become a compromise.
Right.
See, things that are actually good, the Satan turns them around to be evil.
Yes.
Satan a lot of times tries to take what God made good, the exact same thing of God, and turn them into things that are not so good. So it's not technology, it's not necessarily social media, but we have to understand, the saints of God, that the adversary has crept in through this device, through these means, and those are the only ones. But it's become us. And when vanity sets in, when vanity goes and gets going and gets heated, you compromise. You compromise the way you look. You compromise the way you dress. You compromise the places you go. You compromise, compromise, compromise. And no one is compromising for God.
Yes.
Hallelujah. The spiritual sports.
Hallelujah.
I have another here that God was impressing on me. The spiritual sacrificing of our children.
Amen.
We all know the story of Abraham and Isaac. God told Abraham, amen, to bring him up, and that he was to present a sacrifice unto the Lord. And this was a spiritual thing. And the thing is, this appeared to be a potential child sacrifice, but it was truly ordained by God. As God needed to know that Abraham firmly trusted God, even above his beloved son.
Amen.
The scriptures talk about how Abraham loved Isaac, loved him crazy. And God knew how much Abraham loved Isaac, but he needed to know, amen, that he preferred God above his own son. So it appeared to be a potential child sacrifice. But God ordained this. You know what's happening in the church today? We continue to throw God's name on stuff that God has nothing to do with. And what we're doing, we're sacrificing our children. We're sacrificing our children at the altar of Satan inadvertently. It's not something I want to say. It's not something we want to hear. But this is what's happening. Spiritually sacrificing our children in the name of God, and God has nothing to do with it. Saying, oh, I've consulted and I've spoken, and God's spoken to me, and he told me to go here, and he told me to go there. And you're not hearing from God.
Amen.
You're not hearing the voice of the Lord, and our kids are being sacrificed to God. They were children. He gave us a precious thing. When God blessed us with children, you have to understand what God thinks about children. He loves them so specifically that he talks about children specifically in the scriptures. When he gave us our children, you have to understand when he blessed us. You know, some people can't have kids. When he blessed us with our children, amen. Our lives at that point became no longer just all about us. But you have to understand the decisions that we make affect our children. Thank you, Jesus. Every decision that you have is no longer just about you. Every decision we make affects our child. When your steps are not ordered by the Lord, your children greatly suffer.
Amen.
Sure.
Amen.
Kids are affected more by what they see you do than they.
Yeah.
If they see you at home yelling, fighting, acting ugly, what type of adults do you think they're going to be?
Amen.
How many times have we heard this said? The apple doesn't. I wonder why that is. They do what they see us do.
Amen.
Another saying, you can't teach an old dog
new tricks.
You know the key to that is, when you have a dog, you have to teach them when?
While they're young.
Insert our children. Now if they see you when trouble arises and you get angry and you're in a car or whatever, and they see you ungodly, what are we training and teaching them to do? The scripture says, train up a child in the way that he, she should go. And when they get older,
they will not
depart. What are we teaching our kids? Amen. We're sacrificing them spiritually. And we don't even know it. What are we teaching them if we're showing that it's not important to be in the house of God? We're telling them church is important. But if we don't come to church, what are we showing them? They're not listening to what we're saying. They're watching and learning from what we're doing. And this world is just, the adversary is just waiting and waiting to grab. You know what's in this world? I work in a school with young men. You know what's in this world? The sexuality is crazy. It's disgusting. It's something unheard of, unimaginable.
his God, that's what's waiting for them.
Amen.
And even if we don't think we know, listen, they're going, watching, and saying stuff that is ungodly.
Amen.
They are.
Yes.
We have to guard our kids even with the cartoons they're watching. Listen, saints of God, we cannot allow these computers and these devices to be our babysitters.
Amen.
Because the adversary is working through even that.
Yes.
Disney, we took probably 2 years ago, I was so happy we were going to have a family outing. I was taking my wife and my baby girl to see Disney on Ice. You know how much witchcraft and sorcery was in that? I was so uncomfortable. I said, never again will I ever be the magic. It was crazy. I said, never again will I ever come back to another Disney production. And I promise you, if I have anything to do with it, baby girl will never see another Disney production. Just infiltrating.
Amen.
This is what's out there for our kids. Hallelujah. You know, when I was younger, when I was a child, you know what happened? Watch this. Here's how it works. When we would get on a bus, or we would be going to Atlanta with mom and dad and our parents, and here's the thing, it's not just about in your own household. We are all educators, we are all teachers, we are all disciples of the living God. So you know what happened is we would be on a long trip. We're in the car with our parents. You know what would happen? Music would start to play. You know what we constantly saw our parents doing? You know what we constantly saw Elder and Sister Carolee doing? You know what we saw Elder Matthew doing? We know what we saw Minister Anthony doing? As soon as that music came on and you're on a long trip, the other Makisha, no, no, Makisha, no, no, Makisha, no. You go to John, the fourth chapter. We're going to read verses 7 through 15.
We're going to call this beverage, right? We're going to call this section, My Soul is Thirsty. We're going to call this part, My Soul is Thirsty. So verses 7 through 15. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were going away into the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God and who it is that saith to thee, Give me the drink, thou wouldst have asked of him, and he would have given me living water. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof, himself and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Woo! The living water. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. The living water. There is hope, saints of God. There is hope. But we need to cry out, My soul is thirsty.
Yes.
Lord, I need a touch. I need a dab. I need a taste of that living water. Because if I get a little bit, just a little bit, if I get a little bit and that little bit gets to me, I'll never thirst again. Now the best. We're saving the best for last. That's called the dessert. Scripture says, if my people, called by my name, will humble themselves and pray. Sister May, turn to verses 23 and 24 on that video already. Listen to this. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Think about when you go over someone's house or when you even eat out. Amen. The dessert is always optional. You have a choice in the dessert.
Amen.
He's talking about the living water. Right now we're about to open up for that dessert. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We're going to call Elder Isaac forward. Amen. Amen. We have opportunity to feast on the dessert. Amen. For this spiritual smorgasbord, and that being, amen, that if there's anything, hallelujah, if there's anything that's separated between you and your God, that today, this time right now, is an opportunity, hallelujah, for you to say, Lord, here I am. Lord God, I need a touch. Lord God, I want to drink of that fountain, Lord God. I want to drink of that water. Hallelujah, that I'll never thirst again.
Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.